Last week we started a study on healing and a healing. We talked about physical healing last week. And friend, I just want to tell you today that God is good and has got something good in store for your life. Matthew 7, verse 11. We're going to kind of review some of the scriptures we went over last week. Matthew 7, 11. Jesus says this in his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" In other words, if you, human beings, persons, having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will the Father in heaven, the sinless one, give good gifts to those who ask Him? And then James writes what in James 1? 17, what does he write about God? He says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we agree here today that God is good, right? God is the author of good. God has something good in store for your life. And one of the good things that God has in store for your life is healing. We talked about physical healing last week, that if you're sick in your body or if a loved one is sick, God is able to heal that body. What does it say about Jesus in Acts 10:38? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And then it says about Jesus in Hebrews 1, verse 3, it says this. What does it say about Jesus, the Son, in Hebrews 1, verse 3? It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word." The Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the exact representation of God's being, of God the Father's being. So if Jesus went about doing good when He walked this earth and healing all who were possessed of the devil, and He's the exact representation of God's being, what does that say about God the Father? It says that God the Father is good and wants to heal those who are sick. Is that making sense today? So He can heal sick bodies. Nothing is impossible with God. Where the human doctors say there's no more hope, God says, "I've got hope for you. I am the master divine physician. Nothing is impossible for God." Do you agree with that? That's straight from the Word of God. Today I want to talk about healing for your emotions. Healing for your emotions. I don't know what you're facing in your life today, friend. Maybe you had some type of major loss in your life. Maybe it's a financial loss. Maybe it was the loss of a job, a career. Maybe the loss of a relationship. Maybe somebody left you, they rejected you, they divorced you, whatever it might be. And as a result of this loss in your life, you're facing depression and grief in your emotions. And maybe your emotions are ill. You're not doing well in your emotional life. And I'm here to tell you today that the God who heals physically is also the God who heals emotionally. Could you say amen to that? He heals emotionally. I want to talk about some of the biblical accounts of emotional healings that God brought about. Job of the Old Testament. How many here know about Job? He was one of the richest men in the East. Job 1:1. "In the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." We'll jump down to verse 6. "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered the Lord, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.' The Lord then said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand, strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So, in verse 6, in verse 7 of Job, it's as if Satan was saying to God, I've been roaming the earth, going back and forth in it, God, to find somebody who would turn their back on you if you took everything from them. And then God says to him, he says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So as you read Job 1, you find out that he loses his sons and his daughters. He loses all of his material possessions. And in Job chapter 2, we find out that the enemy puts a sickness on Job's skin. And God says, you can put a sickness on his skin, but don't take his very life. So Job loses everything in his life, and he's sick in his body. And you can imagine how Job must be grieving. He must be in some major depression at this point. Would you agree? And we can see of Job's grief and depression in Job chapter 3. In Job 3:1, it says this, after Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth, he said, may the day of my birth perish, and the night it was said, a boy is born. That day may it turn to darkness, may God above not care about it, may no light shine upon it. May darkness and deep shadow claim it once more, may a cloud settle over it, may blackness overwhelm its light. So basically, as you read Job chapter 3, Job is basically cursing the day of his birth, wishing he had never been born. What does that sound like to you? To me, that sounds like depression, like grief, you know? And Job's wife says in Job 2:9, she says, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. So as you read Job, you see that Job goes back and forth with his friends. He's kind of debating with God and trying to wonder why what has happened to him has happened to him. Why is it, God, that I've lost all my material possessions? Why is it, God, that I lost my children? Why is it, God, that I'm sick in my body? Why do I have this skin disease on my body? And he's just in deep grief and depression. But there was good news at the end of his life in Job 42. And it says this, the healing came at the end of his life. Job 42:10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All of his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. And it goes on to say how God blessed him. He received double everything that he had lost. So God, how did God restore Job? How did God heal Job's emotions of grief and depression? Say it again. How did God heal Job's emotions? How did he heal him of the grief and depression? By restoring to him everything that was taken from him. But Job kept the faith. We'll get to that. That's good. He's reading my sermon here. Okay. Another account of somebody who was suffering grief. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And it says this. Luke 7:11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared amongst us. They said, God has come to help his people. It says they were all filled with awe and praised God. So this widow of Nain, at first, when she lost her son, she was in a state of what? In her emotions. In a state of major grief, right? In depression. And then God, Jesus, went about to heal her emotionally. He turned her sorrow into joy. How did Jesus heal her emotions? What did he do? He restored the son that was taken from her. He resurrected the son back to life. And it says that they were all filled with awe and praised God. And I bet that the widow was filled with awe and she was praising God, right? Like, man, thank God my son has been restored to me. He healed her emotionally by restoring to her what was taken from her. Is that making sense today? Another account, John chapter 11. John chapter 11 of grief. Lazarus had died, and his sisters were grieving. It says this in John 11, 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Jump down to verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was moved in spirit and he was troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Then Jesus wept. So we would agree that Martha and Mary, as a result of their brother's death, they were doing what? They were grieving. They were ill. They were hurting in their emotions. But Jesus went about to heal their emotions. Let's read on in John chapter 11. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. So we would agree that Mary and Martha were hurting in their emotions, right? But Jesus healed Mary and Martha. How did Jesus go about healing them? Restoring their brother back to life. Resurrecting Lazarus from the grave. Is that making sense today? See, Jesus in John 11:38, it says concerning Lazarus that he was moved and came to the... He was deeply moved on the inside with compassion to help the sisters of Lazarus. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is our compassionate God. He is moved with compassion and he wants to do something good on your behalf to help you. He wants to turn your sorrow into joy. He wants to heal your emotions today. You may be in the pit of grief, in the cave of depression right now emotionally. But I'm here to tell you today that God can turn it around in your life. Is that making sense? Because we serve a God of compassion, a God who deeply loves us and wants to help us. Amen? Paul writes about God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comforts overflows. We serve a God of comfort. We serve a God of compassion. And the Word of God says about Jesus in Hebrews 13 that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who healed emotions 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who wants to heal your emotions today. Is that making sense? He wants to turn it around for you. He wants to turn your grieving into joy. But there's something that Jesus is looking for. There's something that God is looking for in us. What is that? In the midst of your grief, in the midst of your depression, what is God looking for? He's looking for us to trust Him. You know, Job was going through some major loss, wasn't he? He lost everything he had. He was depressed. He was grieving. But in the midst of it all, look at what Job says in Job 13, verse 15. He says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will serve him. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. In the midst of his hurting emotions, he said, I will still trust God. Even though earlier his wife had said, curse God and die. Job was like, no way. I'm still going to continue trusting in the Almighty God. It's got to be the same for us. Even though you're going through a tough time right now in your emotions, continue to trust in God. That God will bring you through. That God will heal up the situation. Is that making sense today? Mary and Martha, for instance, in John chapter 11 that we just read. Mary and Martha, in the midst of their grief over having lost Lazarus, their brother, how did they address Jesus? How did they address Jesus? In John 11, 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus. You jump down to verse 32. Mary says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So in the midst of the grief of Martha and Mary, they addressed Jesus as what? Lord. What does that say about them? It says that they had what? It says that they had relationship with Jesus. Lord means master. It means ruler. They were saying, Jesus, even in the midst of our loss, even in the midst of having lost our brother Lazarus, you are still our Lord. We still trust in you. Is that making sense? They both addressed Jesus as Lord in the midst of their grief. And that's what God is looking for in us. In the midst of your grief, in the midst of your depression, in the midst of your hurting emotions, God is looking for us to still trust in Him. And if you continue to trust in Him, He will turn it around like He did for Martha and Mary. Amen? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He can raise your emotions back up from the dead. Is that making sense? But He's looking for trust and for faith. Now, got a couple of things here I'd like to read to you. And it says this. The Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy found his life going stale when he was 50 years old. For the next 2 years, he could think of little else but taking his own life. He hid every rope for fear he would hang himself. And he even stopped hunting for fear he would turn the gun on himself. Then he discovered that his despondency lifted when he thought about God. His depression lifted when he thought about God. There was an upsurge of hope, a feeling of stability. Why look further, he asked himself. I'll see God and really live. And he did. Isn't that good? That's awesome, isn't it? Trust in God is what God is looking for. For now, in addition to trust, there's something we can do in the natural. We talked about this last week, right? That God is super, right? God is super. We've got to add some natural to the super of God for the supernatural to go into effect in our lives. God is super. We need to trust Him like Job did, like Mary and Martha did, like the widow of Nain. We need to trust in the super God, right? But in the natural, there's something that we have to do. It's when we add our natural to God's super that the supernatural goes into effect in our lives. So if you're in a state of grief and depression today, there's something you can do in the natural. There's something you can do in the natural. What is that? Help somebody that is in greater need than yourself. You know, because a lot of times when you suffer depression, when a person suffers despondency and depression, why are they going through that depression? Because they're so focused on their problem, on themselves. Me, myself, and I, poor little me. Why has this happened to me? Why have I lost this thing in my life? And you're thinking about your problem over and over repeatedly all day, and you fall into depression. But if you could step out of yourself, shift your focus from yourself to helping someone else, guess what? You'll start climbing out of the pit of depression. It's shifting your focus. As you start helping others, your problem becomes smaller and smaller, and you just start climbing out of that pit of grief. Let me read this to you. Another couple of quotes here. Alfred Adler says this: "You can be cured in 14 days to patients afflicted with melancholia if you follow this prescription. Try to think every day how you can please someone." Booker T. Washington says this: "I think I've learned that the best way to lift oneself up is to help someone." You want to climb out of your depression? You want to climb out of your grief? Yes, trust God. Have faith in God that God can turn it around. But at the same time, start doing something in the natural. Start helping somebody in greater need than yourself, and God will turn it around for you. Back in 2006, some of you may have heard this story. Last quarter of 2006, I suffered some major depression in my life for about a month and a half. I was so low in my life concerning certain problems that occurred in my life. Just depressed. I didn't want to get up in the morning, didn't want to eat, didn't want to be around people. I was really depressed. And so basically, within that last quarter of 2006, I found two different families that were in great financial need. And I had some money in the bank, saved and set aside. And I just sensed on the inside that I should take a big step and help both families financially. So I gave each family a financial gift. It was one of the biggest steps I ever took in my life. It was tough because it was a large sum of money to me. But I tell you, friend, after I helped those two families, it's like I stepped out of that pit of depression. I felt like I was soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. Why? Because my focus was shifted off of my problem to helping somebody else in greater need than myself. And if God can do it for me, that He turned my depression into joy, friend, I'm here to tell you today that He can do the same for you. Could you say amen to that? Amen. But we've got to shift our focus at the same time while having trust and faith in God.